PAT Louisiana's finest.
I say, who that?
R.I.P. Tom Benson. Shout out to the whole Who That Nation.
Now who that? That fever, that flavor, that funk. I say who that? That fever, that flavor, that funk. Oh, who that? That fever, that flavor, that funk. I say who that? That fever, that flavor, that funk. You got that fever? Yeah, yeah. That fever for the flavor. Got that flavor? Yeah, yeah. That flavor for the funk. You got that fever? Yeah, yeah. That fever for the flavor.
Thanks, our listeners. What's up? We back, and so is football. It's good times, Nick. It's here, man. We've been waiting for so long. The wait is over.
We ain't working at Home Depot. We're still talking about football. Everything's all good, man.
It's good, man. Welcome to Saints Talk, the official podcast of New Orleans Football. I'm here with Nick Underhill. I'm your host, Kevin Washington. Guys, make sure you follow Nick on Twitter. Handle at Nick underscore Underhill. Follow New Orleans Football, NODOT football on Twitter. Most important thing, go to NewOrleans.football / subscribe. The link will be in the show notes. Pick a tier, get the practice report, stay updated on everything that's going on with the Saints. Support, come be a part of the community. We ready. So, man, football's back. It just feels good saying it, man. You could hear it in my voice. Nick is smiling. It's maybe fake, but it's all good. We're gonna make it happen. He give me like these weird smiles sometimes. Man, it just feels good. It feels good. Did your off-season training 5 miles a day?
Yeah, we didn't need it. We didn't need it. Practice was only 90 minutes long. It was cool out kind of the first day, so it isn't even long enough to really be like arduous or whatever. So
yeah,
it's 90 minutes of practice, then they can go up. So tomorrow they'll be. Well, when they're listening to this, it'll be today. So
right,
there'll be 105 minutes and then 120. So like they go up 15 minutes every day. But yeah, I mean it was short, man. It was good to be out there, but like, you know, it was 5 passes each a team and then it was kind of over. But I mean, look, there was some positional stuff. There was stuff to evaluate. Just seeing it was great. You know, I left a job and started a business to come here to write these practice reports. So to be able to actually do that finally it was a nice payoff. So yeah, man, it was just great to be back out there. You know, it's kind of weird that it was like you wait all this time. It's a build up. You go to one, and then they got a day off the next day. But hey, man,
that was a bad time, man. That was crazy time.
It's every day until Tuesday now, so you know we got the
we good.
Yeah,
we good.
That was the walkthrough. So
look, man. So regardless of how short the practice was, we're about to overreact to everything. We know who the future quarterback is. We got a, you know, we know what the O-line look like. We know what the starters look like. We know who sucks. It's all set in motion, man. So let's do it, man. All right. So topic number one, is it Tamis? Is that
yeah, we're not doing that here. It's Jameis.
It's lame,
we are not doing that. We are not a Tamis zone. That's for out there. Everybody else can do it. We are not Tamis.
Hey, look, I wrote
this is not a celebrity couple. We are not. No. We are not a Tamis show.
Hey, man, look, I'm with you. I wrote in the show notes and I was hoping you was going to see it because I knew I was going to get a little heat from it. But
yeah, we ain't doing it.
I'm with you. What's up, Jameis? Jameis, you put out an article before anyone saw practice. You know, I guess you got a little note from a bird, you know, flew through your front window, dropped some little practice notes off to you, gave you some, you know, gave you a little info, whatever. Jameis, you know, he's launching 70 yarders, apparently, you know, before you guys got to see him. And, you know, he seems like he made some nice throws, you know, in the padded practice that you guys saw. So, well, just first impressions, not just even, I mean, pass to passes, like his energy, how does he look out there, man? Does he fit in?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, the thing that stood out to me first was kind of his personality, and it comes through on the field. And I do think that matters. You know, I think I've said it before, and I think it's a fair thing to note that if you don't know anything about Jameis Winston, you know, maybe, you know, a couple things. Like, it's impossible not to know everything about it. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that Jameis has been involved in that you're going to be aware of, allegations, off-field stuff, and you're going to think, you know, when you go to talk to him for the first time, he's not someone that you're probably neutral on. You probably have thoughts one way or another, and he makes you like him. And just seeing his presence and being, you know, just seeing him from the sideline on the field, just how big his personality is, the energy he has that makes his teammates react to him and they like him. And then the other thing with him is just around the campus, he takes the time to know everybody. Like,
I see.
In the coronavirus trailer, like, he knows everybody's name in there and he knows something about him. He's talking to him. He's a, you know, he's a genuinely warm person.
Yeah.
And that stuff has helped him kind of come in and get the team to like him right away. And look, he's a third quarterback on the depth chart or whatever, second. He's not in like a leadership role, but like as a quarterback, I think one of your default traits has to be leadership for you to have any shot at anything. So, you know, I think step one is that. Step two, I mean, the arm is, you know, the live. Arm is, yes.
He's live, man.
Like, you know, someone pointed this out. Like, I love the people that read my stuff because, like, my DMs and my emails are just absolutely insane. And I got a frame-by-frame breakdown from somebody of of Jameis and Taysom throwing and how quickly Jameis gets the ball out compared to Taysom. And then, you know, I go and watch it, and I'm breaking it down myself to make sure the integrity of these screenshots are true. And it's there, man. Like, they start their windup at the same time and the ball's out, you know, on Jameis before, you know, Taysom's there. And like, it's that's just the mechanics. And, you know,
yeah, you sent me a text, like, you was like, yo, look at this. You're going to have to use the slider to see exactly what I think Taysom actually probably like started before him, which is like a little crazy.
Yeah. I mean, look, it got me fired up, you know, but like
whole article on the way.
The mechanics are really good though. And like, it, you know, you watch them, you know, they're doing the routes on air before practice and, you know, the ball's just coming out much differently on Jameis. Mm-hmm. And look, that's why he was the number one pick.
Right.
Everybody saw the throw on the corner route to Traquan was one of the clips that, you know, everybody sent out there. And that throw was, look, man, I've been going to this camp for a while. That's one of the best throws I've seen in camp in a long time. And that's not a knock on Breeze. It's just Jameis has the arm to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, it isn't going to be the physical. It's going to be the mental stuff and how that builds day by day and stack by stack. The physical stuff right away, you know, it's off the charts, man. It was impressive.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's funny. I'm not there, but when I read about just, you know, what people are saying about him and just little things I hear about him. I mean, you hear stuff. You hear how some of the guys, you know, reporters have been, you know, guys that, you know, beat writers have been asking about him in the interviews and whatnot. And it just feels like he is already acting like a job is his. Like, and I don't have any inside information on that, but that's just the vibe I get. The vibe is like, you know, he's in his mind, like he's the future quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And so that we'll see. We'll see. I mean, from the start, I've always thought that if in a fair competition between the two, I just think that he would win that job. And, you know, look, we'll see. It's way too early to predict how it's going to come. But, you know, this guy threw for, 5,200 yards last year, right? That's no slouch. So, I mean, you just need to dial them back a little bit. And I prefer my quarterbacks to be a little bit too aggressive than not aggressive enough, because I think you can coach out a little bit of aggression, but you can't coach it in. So, yeah, this is one of the most – and it's crazy because we're not even talking about a starter. But this is one of the most exciting camp battles that I can remember. In fact, I can't think of a camp battle – that would be more exciting than the one for backup quarterback. And it sucks that, man, we didn't get preseason this year, because it would have been preseason games this year. It would have been crazy. But, that's the vibe I'm getting. Go ahead.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, though, like at all. Because, look, I mean, if he can't protect the ball and he's making mistakes, he's not going to be the quarterback. And Sean can win games. He can scheme around a quarterback who isn't quite as good, as talented. He can't scheme around and score points if he doesn't have the ball. And
Yep.
If Jameis doesn't fix the mental stuff, it's not going to matter. Like, the physical traits aren't in question at all. The interception he threw in practice, I would not really, you know, it wasn't like what's he doing? Like, the pass was a little high, so there's a knock on him. Juwan Johnson got his hands on it, probably got a catch that ball. Like, it wasn't a super errant throw or anything like that. So,
yeah.
Interception one, I'm not really holding against him. I didn't see anything that was... Look, the bad throws that I saw in practice were really Taysom throws. I mean, you know, in the one-on-ones, he threw a pass way, like, under Mike, and Marshawn got an easy interception.
I see.
And there were a couple other bad throws. So, I mean, I think day one, it's a, you know, Put the one up for is. Put one up for yeah. Winston. You know, yeah. he ate a W and you know.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
It just came in the moment.
You're not that good, bro. No, I know
swear,
you.
I swear it just came to me, man. I'm a writer. I work with words.
Hey, man. Look, hey. You should have said that for the article, man. That was a cold piece.
Oh, man. Oh, but yeah, hilarious. So yeah, it was definitely, you know, I'm excited though. I'm excited to, like, even just going out there, like, we've been talking about these guys, and
yeah, man,
we're the podcast of backup quarterback excitement. But like, then just seeing them, and it's like, yeah, wow, like they really got these three dudes, and like, they're all wildly interesting.
Yeah, man,
like,
they all got like something going on with each one of them, right? It's like Drew, he's working on getting his arm stronger. He's 41. What's the decline? How many years does he have left? Taysom. Jameis, we know the battle going back between them two. Can Jameis dial it back? Can Taysom be a real quarterback? Is he a gadget player? It's, man, yeah, you can't draw it up any better than this. And I will say, you know, Jameis seems like a guy that, you know, in kind of practice scripted situations, that he's just going to look good, right? Like you put him on the pro day and he's going to look good. And Taysom, you know, he's definitely someone who, the more you scheme him into the game plan, right, you know, the more physical contact and more hitting involved, it seems like that's when he is probably at his best. So maybe the practice environment, you know, it suits Jameis a little bit better. And, you know, it's not, you know, thinking about it, it's something I need to keep in mind, right? They're trying to evaluate Taysom as a quarterback from the pocket, throw the ball. They're not out there trying to, you know, don't read the Saints defense or anything right now. So I do keep that at the front of my mind, but at the end of the day, man, you're a quarterback. Your job is to deliver passes. And, you know, I think that's, you know, that's going to probably be something that's going to kind of dictate this battle a little bit.
So that's probably like one of the best points that's ever been made on this podcast. Honestly, it really is. Like, we're going to get so caught up in everything they do. And there's just stuff about Taysom that you can't simulate. Like, it just has to happen. Like, a play has to fall apart, and then what's he going to do? And that's where his specialness comes in. So, you know, unless he's playing behind, like, Cincinnati's offensive. Well, look, Pete's out, and the offensive line might be really bad, so we might see a lot of off-script stuff.
Good point.
Day one of the offensive line was it wasn't good. I mean, look, Breeze was under pressure / sacked on, like, three of his six plays. Mm. You know,
Taysom, it was from the edge inside. I mean,
Cam had a shared one with Onyemata, and then the last one I think was Zach Bond.
It was Bond.
Yeah, and then I can't remember. There was another one on another line. I can't remember. It might have been Onyemata again. I think he might have had two as well. So
I knew Cam was two and Bond was one, and I think I know about the shared one. I don't remember the fourth one.
So I mean, the way it went too is that Drew went against the first team. Jameis went against the second team. Then Taysom took two or three snaps against the second team, and then the first team defense came back in.
Okay.
So that, you know, again, like, if that's how it goes, like, it'll be important to keep note of who's throwing against who, because
context.
Then, yeah, there might be a degree of difficulty for Taysom that doesn't exist for Jameis in some of this. So,
Mike Thomas is on the field. That's a big difference, right? If you're doing it to me every time.
Mike couldn't even get the ball just because of the way, like, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible offensive pass. But again, it was only five passes for Breeze. Offensive.
But I mean, but to your point, I mean, and, you know, not to backtrack into, you know, the backup quarterback battle, but, you know, at the end, I do think, like you said, that pass that he underthrew to Mike, you know, those kind of plays, you know, no matter what you can do off script, if you can't deliver those type of passes, then, you know, you're just not going to play quarterback in this league. So, look, I mean, everyone has we have bad days and stuff that we're good at, so we're not making any judgments here, but that is something that
one practice. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So we're just setting the tone for the next, you know, couple of weeks, few weeks, and what we're expecting to see. But yeah, we're going to analyze every single, we're going to probably talk about this every day. Definitely not for 20 minutes or whatever, but it's the biggest thing going on the team. I mean, literally, there's no bigger story, and we're going to cover it as such because, man, it's exciting. The D-line, you know, were you able to get, and I know the answer is no, and this is kind of me saying, hey, you know, let's keep an eye on this because, hey, we might end up recording more pods like as needed because, you know, football is here, man. But just the health of the D-line is something to me that is kind of, and you've spoken about it, but I think it's kind of one of those underrated things that's going on right now because Cam had surgery, Rankins had surgery, and Davenport had surgery. And so, you know, just the health of those guys is something that I think that's, you know, it's going to be one of those storylines that's important because the talent is there. You know, what does Rankins look like, right? I mean, him and Cam were together, and him and Davenport and Davenport, Cam, and Rankins worked together this offseason. So, like, what does that look like, right? So just keeping an eye on the health of those guys is going to be important. And like I said, it's one practice, but them getting pressure early is, you know, that bodes well for a D-line that was, you know, pretty injured, you know, at the end of the year last year.
Davenport looked good. You can see on the edge how someone's moving okay. A little bit better. He looked good to me. He looked like okay. He had some burst and you know, juice to him and everything. Cam looked great. Rankins, it's a little bit more cluttered in the middle, but like he was drilling some technique stuff on the sideline, and you know, I seen him bust a couple spin moves, and you know, okay. They were, you know, it wasn't like you know, he was dragging a leg or anything like that. Like I don't know if he's all the way back to it. You know that. Yeah. That's hard to tell in, you know, that environment, but like
right. He's
moving and looks nimble, which
that's important.
Yeah. I mean, it's something. So we'll see how it keeps going, but
yeah,
the first look at him was, all right, he's moving. All right. Like it's not of concern or anything like that. Onyemata looked great to me though, man. He looked really good in that practice. He did.
Wow. They see something in him. They paid him as such. And you know,
Cam said he's underpaid, which was like,
he did say that. I heard him say that, which...
That's a mean thing to say after a guy just signed a contract.
Yeah, I was just like... I mean, I know he's trying to be nice, but it's like, bro, like, you know, like... chill. Like, give me a little bit then. Like, pass that.
So, you know, you messed up, right? Like,
right, yeah. Like, run that, bro. Like, come on. Don't say that, Cam. Yeah. No, I feel you. I feel you. When I heard that, I was like, okay.
But Cam, you're underpaid. Like, but Cam's underpaid, you know, by choice. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, Cam is wildly overpaid.
Underpaid.
There's an article on the site about that, by the way, guys. So go to Northside Football. Scroll down. It's down there somewhere.
You don't get enough credit for being team friendly. Like nobody really talks about it enough. Like it's something that should be talked about like constantly.
That's fair. Because Drew, with Drew, is always spoken about. But yeah, Cam is. It's rare for guys to do that though.
Yeah,
like you
don't
see
it.
That. Yeah, you don't see that. And this is his third contract that he's on, this extension that he signed. Yeah, so
he's been underpaid his whole entire career, like whole seriously career. Yeah,
whole career. I mean, I remember saying it on like some pods specifically, like if I'm Cam Jordan, I'm holding out. Like for real, like I'm not gonna put up Von Miller, JJ Watt numbers and you're gonna pay me like the 20th best defensive end in the NFL. So
I think he's like ninth, but still, yeah.
Yeah, I mean back then, like at the time. And so, but yeah, it's crazy. And he just took a new contract underpaid. But he's very clear, man. He wants to retire Saint.
Yeah,
I mean
he's really about it. Yeah, no, he's really about what he's talking about. Yeah,
yeah. Some people say it, but this dude, he's out there and he's out there after it. I mean, he came in the league with 2011, and I mean he's still after it. I mean, I feel like he's still getting better, if that's even possible, you know, at this point in his career. But shout out to Cam Jordan, man. And I think him wanting to retire here, this is an aside, but, you know, it kind of speaks a lot to what they've built a little bit. Because, you know, when you hear Nigel Bradham say, like, this team, he talked about the Saints and how they operate in their Super Bowl aspirations. And I'm like, man, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl, and I think he was on that team. So, what is it about this team and how they're running things that's so unique to where, like, you know, people like want to be here and are flocking here? And it's impressive, man. It's impressive.
I think the Bradham thing got taken out of context. So, like, what he was trying to say is that, like, he came to a, like, it's different coming to a place that's already built. When he went to the Eagles, he was helping build it. It was brick by brick. So, like, you know, basically it would have been like coming to the Saints.
You know. Junior Gallant era.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but they were already, like, they had the 2009, so, like, it would have been, you know, coming in 2006 or whatever, and, like, being part of that build-up, okay, of, like, okay. A thing, you know what
Super
I mean?
Bowl
so, like,
and drop, yeah.
Yeah. So I think,
all right, yeah, I got you.
Fired
I got
up
you.
Over nothing, yeah.
Hey, man, let's watch. Hey, to all the reporters out there, man, watch how y'all report what these guys are saying, man.
Well, I mean, that's how he said it, but like, oh, yeah. The way he said it was like, but you like, I knew what he like. It was clear.
Take
what
the
he
context,
meant.
Yeah. Give us the context too, man. Don't put my man out there like that. Anyway, PJ Williams, go.
Look good.
I'm like, hey, we spoke about PJ earlier this offseason, and Coach AG was like glowing about him. I mean, like, I'm like, man, you know, you just signed this guy for like the minimum. He was talking about him like he was some type of, you know, all pro or something like that. But yeah, it's interesting, man. I really want to see how, you know, how this secondary thing, how they're going to play out with this secondary. And I think I've regressed to the point where I'm not making any assumptions right now. Just when I think about it and like who's going to be on the field, like I'm not sure how they're going to do this thing. So, and I think it's a good thing because it shows the strengths of that position. But, you know, it sounds like they want PG on the field. And if he's on the field, then you can look at the depth chart and see maybe someone who won't be on there. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking all offseason about how they like him at safety and he's out there playing safety then. So, I mean, that wasn't a surprise at all. You know, we've been working that for quite a while. But, yeah, I mean, look, you look really good there. And I think just even the differences, like in the one-on-ones, like he had some issues, you know, and issues is a relative term, but like he got beat a few times, you know, in actual coverage as a cornerback. And he's going to hold it down in zone, but one-on-one, you know, outside.
Yeah, that's not his name, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to work great. And speaking of, this is an aside, but like speaking of the clips that go out there, like people need to hold back on what they're saying because they aren't seeing the whole play. Like there's a Benny Fowler play where like the quarterback was getting dragged for like overthrowing him. And like the way the play unfolded, the way the leverage of the cornerback was, he's supposed to run a corner route up the field. He broke it flat, and then, you know, the pass goes up the field, he breaks it flat, and this is a great route. Like, no, it wasn't. Like, it was the wrong route.
And
you don't see the quarterback, you know, you maybe would have seen the number 9 on the chest in the video. Like, you might have taken a longer to evaluate who knows the playbook and who doesn't.
Right. It's not like a Jameis throw or something.
Right. And then the other thing, like you see PJ like getting beat on a, you know, well, he was in coverage on the Traquan pass from Jameis. Like the coverage was pretty good. But like in context, like if he's ever playing outside, like he's probably not one-on-one coverage 25, 30 yards down the field. There's going to be a safety there helping him.
Something went wrong if PJ's playing outside. Well, yeah, with no safety help.
Right. Like, so the only guy, like some underneath stuff, like if it's going up the sidelines, the only guys you should really be doing like a hard evaluation on cornerback wise is probably Marshawn and to some extent, Janoris. Like everybody else ain't going to be, you know,
out there like that.
Yeah. Keith Washington's going to be playing to his health. Like, that's,
yeah, he's going to protect the sidelines and let Marcus help him up the scene.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned, like how sometimes these guys that, you know, like people cover like these routes that we see, because I forget what it was. I was just scrolling through my timeline, whatever. And I saw this wide receiver run this route where he ran, he came back, he went in, he went out, and then he ran upfield. And like, oh, it's like, oh, look at this route. The cornerback couldn't keep up with him. I said it took like 6 seconds. Like,
right.
There's no route. They don't even have a number for that route in the NFL route tree. It doesn't exist. So like, you know, these guys running these 6 second routes against air, of course you can't keep up with the guy, right? You know which way you're going and he don't. So I'm with you.
I'm not even like hating on anybody, because I'd be doing the same thing if I wasn't out there and that was the only access I had to practice. I'm just saying, like, we need to like not come to these sweeping conclusions. Like, these are like small pieces, and like just be aware that, like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an average of
if a receiver on day one is getting overthrown up the sideline, it's probably the receiver.
Especially when you know back there.
Yeah, yeah. That's the main thing. Yeah. I guess if you're assuming it's like Jameis, like, yeah, maybe the quarterback might have been. But like, yeah, it's like Drew knows the option and how to play against the leverage and all that stuff. Yeah.
If you see it like happening in like week 3 of training camp with Mike Thomas and Drew Brees, then it's okay to panic a little bit. But not week 1 with Benny Fowler. Let's chill.
Oh, so back to PJ. Yeah, the difference is like you see some of the issues, you know, in the coverage, but then the strengths of his game are in space, crashing down. And, you know, when he can sit back there and read everything in front of him, he sees the field really well. He makes good breaks. And you see him do that in cornerback in his zone coverage.
Yeah, that's zone, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, you get him back there in a two safety shell. There were some plays where he was single MOF too, but.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, the interception on Jameis, you know, he saw the pass go to, you know, the rookie receiver, bounces off his hands, picks it off. Like, you know, it's a solid play. He gets himself in the right position.
Yeah.
The fumble, you know, crash down. Nobody needs to, you know, talk about PJ's hitting ability, tackling.
Yeah, physicality. Really good. Yeah.
It was a little late. Absolutely. A little late in the
Sean gave it to him. Yeah. We'll let him have it.
Yeah, Sean gave it to him after the practice. I wasn't
Sean
sure.
says, yeah, yeah. We're gonna let Sean have a final call, man.
So yeah, I mean, look, he looked really good. And like, you know, we said, I don't know, maybe the second, third podcast back, like what he did filling in a deep safety.
Big time.
He's got some fans who think he can do it for real. He can do it for real. Yeah. So
And that's shown by where they're playing him.
Right.
If I mean, last year, I don't remember any training camp reports talking about PJ Williams at safety. So, and look, I mean, you know, not saying anything, but Marcus Williams is a free agent after this year. So, you know, you can't keep everybody sometimes. So, you know, maybe you got an in-house solution if that's the case. So they see him as more of a, if he's in the middle of the field by himself, they see him as a free more than a, I mean, he's the ultimate interchangeable safety though, mm-hmm. when you think about it. Like he's just, yeah, they're like the kid from I obviously get his name, one of the best in the NFL from Tennessee. But just guys like that. Harrison Smith was like that, just guys who can play. And I'm not saying he's on their level, but just guys who can play box safety or free. So all right, so let's tackle this Pete thing. He's hurt. He had a thumb injury. I think it was his thumb. He should be out a couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, I think it was reported. It sucks for him, man. It sucks for him. It seems like he came into camp. He was in shape, really in shape. And, you know, coming off a nice payday, obviously, and the expectations for him were and still are pretty high. But, you know, I definitely think it's a setback. He's someone that, you know, we would have liked to see in camp healthy and, you know, what kind of player is he going to be going for. But, you know, what do you think this – you know, means for him in the short term, and and hopefully he can maybe be out there sooner than later.
Yeah, anybody, like if you're watching this and you saw me like just smirk, it wasn't anything about Pete being in shape or anything like that. I just started smirking because like it was just hilarious to me today Jay Glazer, like he hasn't reported anything in such a long time, and he just came out of nowhere like to be like. There was the report earlier, like it was like Ian's report wasn't even like. Bad or wrong or anything like that. He just said, like, look, if he has to get surgery, it could linger into the season. It wasn't like it is going to linger into the season. It was like it could be a 2 week thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then, like, Glaze just comes out of like nowhere. He's like, it's a 2 to 3 week injury. And it's just like somebody was pissed about whatever. Like,
yeah, that was a hit job a little bit. Like, call it what it is. Yeah.
Like we're inside, like, way inside, you know. Industry stuff here, but like I don't know, like for some, like it just hit me right now like how absurd like that was that it played out. Like look, like Glazer don't get out like to report unless it's like a massive bomb anymore. Like he's just not out there like that.
Then now
he's
talking
just,
about
like,
Andrew's Pete's thumb. Yeah.
Like what just happened? Like where have you been?
Man, the people in the NFL don't know who this guy is, and they're like, you know, fans at least, and they're like, oh, who's I think we knew what was going on there. I mean,
I guess we're going like with a hard 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm on Glazer coming after my neck, so I'm not saying nothing. 14 days it is, man. Chill out, bro. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's it does. Just I was eager to see him because this guy, his whole career has struggled with the conditioning test, and he's like legitimately in shape, and that was like one of the things that. I was most intrigued about seeing, you know, I think, you know, you pointed out the last time that like him showing up in shape after getting paid is like such a big deal too, just about the mentality and all that stuff. Yeah. So yeah, it's a disappointing thing. You know, I think that side of the line's okay, but like if there is a different center, there's probably some chemistry stuff there. You know, so it's going to set things back a little bit. You know, the Nick Easton's fine. Like, you can get by with Nick Easton if you got to play with him. I think
it's an insurance policy, but hey, I guess it's working out now.
Yeah. Like, you don't ever want to pay for it until, like, you need it, but yeah.
Like, no one wants life insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they can get by with them. They'd be okay with them for you know, a couple games. It's just, you know, I think Pete being at that level takes it all to a much, much different level. Same with the line. One of the things that I thought was really weird is, and I'm probably reading way too much into it. Did you listen to Peyton talk after the practice?
Yes, I listened to his interview. Yeah, on the website, I did.
Yeah, so I thought it was weird how he was asked about Ruiz and McCoy. McCoy was at center the first practice, and he's like,
we'll rotate
him in there every few days. Like, it wasn't like weird. We'll see tomorrow. Like, it might be every other day. And, you know, it might have just been, you know, me catching him and the way he spoke or whatever. But the way he said it, I was just kind of like,
yeah.
Like, why isn't this every other? Like, and the other thing that was weird to me, like,
why not start Ruiz there at the.
Right.
Now we thinking like, there we go. My bad. I took your point.
No,
I don't care.
No, man. Like, you think you get a baseline.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, get a base. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking. I was just like, well, why don't you just see what the dude is and what the build off of. I mean, look, I'm not going to pretend I know more O-line, but it did catch me off guard. I was like, okay, what's the reasoning for this, right? Are you just trying to get the offense running? You got a guy who you know has played the position and you can get the reps and not have to worry about, you know, maybe some of the growing pains early. I don't know. I was trying to figure out the angle for not having Ruiz at center first.
If you're without your guard on that side, I'm just thinking this right now. This is the very first time this thought has entered my mind. So I don't know. And I'm going to have to ask people about
this. Text version of Underhill now.
Yeah. Like, at the very first time, like, if you're out there, you're losing this guard, is it easier chemistry wise to split these two guys that don't play a whole lot on the line, or kind of like, Easton isn't a newcomer, but he's not a regular out there. Mm-hmm. Is it easier for the rookie to play alongside an all-pro tackle and a really good center, as opposed to being new at center next to a guy that's not quite as talented, can't maybe help you settle in as much, doesn't have as much chemistry with the whole line? So
that's a reason. Yeah, I'd say that's probably a good reason. I would append to that reason also, you know, maybe initially he just needs to work on, you know, some of the ways that those guys get off the line, the cadence, and learning how those guys just kind of work. And once he gets some baseline level of understanding and a certain amount of chemistry and, you know, just get used to some of the guys on the line, then maybe you can move him over to center because he, you know, he has a foundation that he can work off of. But I think your point makes sense because you got guys on both sides of you who basically can kind of tell you what to do and when to do it, right? And with Nick Easton over there, is, you know, he wasn't active half the games last season.
Right.
So, you know, he's not someone that's going to be able to, you know, give him a lot of feedback, maybe. But I think that's a good point. And I'm trying to think of the reason why not. I'm not trying to think of the alternative. But yeah, I can be so that I'll buy, you know.
All right, next topic. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We just got to see who's out there like every time though. But yeah, I mean, as wild as it seemed, that if he doesn't really get a shot, if it is every, like, you're gonna try him every third day or whatever, like, that seems like a plausible. That seems like something we got to find
a
out.
A reason,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And you are definitely thinking of him as a guard, not a center, if it comes to that. All right, I'm with it. All right, let me see. Blake Gillikin. Apparently this guy got a mega foot on him. you reported on him, you know, some of the hang time that he was putting on his punt. So you got that in front of you. Run with it.
Yeah, so... really, that was the weirdest guy that stayed on the team, right? When they cut down to 80, I think it was just like,
right,
roster spots are at a premium and you're keeping a second punter, right, for
cornerback,
what?
Cornerback, quarterback, running back, punter. What?
Right. Yeah. Well, like, why do you need two punters?
And, yeah.
You know, it makes more sense. I don't see any scenario really yet at this point where you could be like, oh, like Thomas Morstead's like in trouble. Like, I think
2009 is when they draft. Wait, 2000. Yeah, he's on the Super Bowl team. Yeah, he's been there for a minute. I'm just thinking through it, but go ahead.
He's so much more than just like a specialist. Like he's a team leader. He's you know, trusted. He's still the best, probably one of the best at what he does. So I don't
face of the team, face of the city. Yeah,
I don't see a scenario where he's like in danger. But this other dude can really punt. Like he can really really punt. Like he's not a chump. Like he's not here. Just like he's here for a reason. You see him go out there and do the job, and you're like, oh, okay. Like
he's on the roster.
Yeah. And then like, the other thing is too, and I was told this by somebody that was laying out a possible scenario for why you could we would have another punter here at this point. You know, in a coronavirus season, like something could happen, your punter goes down, you need to be able to trust your punter. If you have a guy that can do that, you keep him on the practice squad, you know,
sort and of kick.
Like, yes, he can kick as well. So
yeah,
we haven't seen it, but I was told he can kick at an NFL level. So yeah, I mean you get a 2-for-1 there. So
That's a paid move though, man. 2-for-1, like that's his wheelhouse.
Yeah. So I don't see Thomas in trouble. Like, you know, it's just this dude can really punt. Like, so like they were, you know, going through, you know, different scenarios or whatever, and it was like pin it in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Situation and like
location. Now we're locating the ball at a certain point.
Yeah. So like I wrote on the site, it was 4.7 seconds of hang time. Like, so I don't have a replay, and I'm doing things live with the stopwatch. And some of the times on my stopwatch were so outlandish that I did not put them in the article. I just like above 4.7.
You gotta just like subtract like the plus minus margin of error from it and take the bottom.
Two of these punts hung long enough for guys to run down the field and catch them out of the air at like the 2-yard line. So I mean, like he was doing some stuff out there, man. Like it wasn't just he was doing
That's a pretty wild, like
Morshak can do that stuff too. But yeah, I mean, like, look, you got a UDFA punter that's like, you know, and again it's day one, that's wild. He's legitimately good enough that, like, you know, to have an NFL job somewhere. Like, I don't think it's here. Like, Will Lutz was good enough to have an NFL job somewhere.
That's what I was thinking. Like, what did the Saints give for Lutz? Do you remember what the pick was? I don't remember. They got him from Baltimore, I think it was. But, hey, if they see a scenario where, hey, you know, it sucks no preseason games, right? Because if you was trying to get something for that guy, that would be the avenue for it. But,
yeah. Is there any value, like, in a late-round pick even, though? Like it next year, like with the way college football is going, this is a wild is there any value in draft pick? Like the value of a draft pick is like really, really.
Yeah. I think I read it somewhere, like when Seattle traded for Jamal Adams, but that ridiculous compensation, the thought process was, well, look, you know, next year we don't know if, you know, we're going to be evaluating guys who we don't have as good as idea of, you know, and so let's just get something that we know and we'll feel better about that. And we'll, you know, we'll deal with the rest later. So, which I understand that makes a little sense. Compensation was still a little crazy, but to your point about the draft picks, I can definitely see maybe that being the case. I know the Saints, like they're, you know, they need all the picks they can get. I mean, they use a 7th this year to get Tommy Stevens. So,
you know, like imagine last year, it's like you have this, like punter, you bring in, you trade him, you get a 7th. Pandemic hits, you don't know what's going on. Come up on the clock. You hear from the local college that, you know, the quarterback they have up there like works really hard and practices and is smart. Use the pick you got for a punter and draft Joe Burrow, and he becomes. You know what I'm saying? Without that season though, like, you know what I mean? Like that's where he would have been picked without the last season. Like it's that's just like crazy. The craziest thing ever.
He said it. He was like, "Yo, I'm not Joe Burrow without this last season." Like he was straight up like honest about it. So that's crazy. I would say crazier things have happened, but I don't think crazier things have happened.
I don't like that. They're 100% is not another one of those. Like there was a Tom Brady. And
I'm going to say like every like 2 decades, something crazy like that may happen. Yeah. You just don't. I mean, I'm just trying to think like the UDFAs that even. I think Chris Harris was a UDFA. He was a good player. But yeah, that just doesn't happen, man.
Yeah. Not a quarterback.
Definitely not a quarterback. I think quarterbacks are scrutinized way too much right now. I think once, just to go undrafted I mean, I don't know, man. Then you got Taysom sitting around here, like, waiting to be great. So, you know, I don't know.
That's different, though. That's different. That ain't, like, Taysom's great because not as a pocket passer. Like, Taysom's great because we don't even know if Taysom's great. Like, let's clarify that. But, like, Taysom's
quarterback, great. But other stuff, he's amazing.
Yeah, Taysom might potentially be really good because, like, there was a coach that's a maniac, like, with his visions, and he saw it, and he might bring something out of him. But it wasn't because, like, somebody looked at the tape and was like, this dude, he's a pocket passer. Yeah.
That's real.
Like, the Saints didn't even have, like, a draftable, like, they didn't, like, they were like, who is this guy when they seen him? Like, they didn't even have, like,
The other McCaffrey, as they call him, right? Yeah. We had to get this guy a name. All right, well, we'll keep our eye on partner Blake. And that's interesting, man. We'll see how that is. Zach Bond, I read that they're just kind of throwing him in there. I think he had some snaps with the ones and just kind of seeing where he's going. And he's competing at strong side linebacker right now, right?
Yeah. So look, I'm going to preface, like, all the conversations we have going forward, like, we really aren't supposed to say what group people are playing with, but, like, when other people say where they're playing, like, if a player says, like, Zach Bond's playing with the starters, which Cam Jordan did, like, it's fair game. So yeah, I mean, there's, like, weird restrictive reporting rules for this year that were laid down by the NFL. It isn't a Saints thing. Like, it's an NFL thing. I don't know, man. Like, it's COVID, man. Yeah. So whatever, like, like, they said he's playing with the starters. So, yes, it's so stupid, though, man. Like, there's pictures out there. Like, someone could just scan through the pic. It's
easy to just tell. We're mass people.
I don't even know. Like, the whole thing is stupid.
Yeah, that's just weird, man. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that.
Basically, I'm going to talk about stuff, like, in, you know, if something's, like, wildly. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know where the, like, if we get to the point where we got to seek clarity, like, I don't really see where that's going to come up with this team, thankfully, because I think everything's so set.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's not like you're going to be getting a letter from the front office talking about, you know, you mixed up the second and third string quarterback.
Yeah,
they got bigger problems than to be worrying about that. But yeah, no, I get it. That's we'll follow the rules here, people. I know y'all listening. But yeah, he's someone I'm interested in. I think that, you know, he had a pressure. Don't really know how much that means, if it means anything at all. But we'll see with him.
He looked good. He's you know, pretty comfortable in space. He moves decently. There was a couple plays where, you know, he kind of got caught sleeping on a couple things. There was like a underneath, like he was dropping back and you know just didn't recognize his underneath coverage on one play.
Yeah,
but I mean, those are the things that are going to happen with the guy that's moving off the edge and playing off ball. It's just kind of like, hey. And they're going to have to, you know, make sure that his awareness is there and that he's making the plays he needs to make and all that stuff. There's a play to the flat past the Ty Montgomery. Montgomery beat him to the corner in turn. But, like, look, that's a really fast dude, like, out there. And to me, like, I was watching Bond. The fact that he saw it and reacted in a reasonable amount of time, that was a positive thing to it. So, that was a decent play, you know, recognition wise for that. You know, it's going to be going through the process with him. The other rookies, who else? We already talked Trotman, about Ruiz.
Trotman. There were some. Cook had some interesting comments about Trotman.
Cook had multiple, like, moments where I'm like, "What is going on here?"
The Jameis Winston moment was like,
"Yeah, look, yeah." I stayed away from that one because I had no idea what he was alluding to.
Me neither.
It just did not feel right to go there to me.
He said I'll let someone else tell y'all. And I'm like, man, all right, man, whatever.
Yeah, like, I'm moving by this. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. So what did he say about Trotman that caught you?
Trotman, he said that, you know, he's been running with the ones. He said that, you know,
Jared Cook did say that Adam Trotman is running with the ones.
Jared Cook explicitly said that Adam Trotman is running with the ones. The player from the Saints who plays tight end and wears number 87.
Yes.
Whose last name is Cook and first name is Jared, said that. Not Nick Underhill.
Right.
He said he's running with the ones. He said that he's making a really easy transition, like from college. And he said the offense that he ran in college is the same he's running now, and that he's making, you know, like I said, he's making an easy transition. And he said he's been able to have some contributions really early in camp. So, you know, listen, that was before the first practice, and I just thought it was interesting that he said that he's contributing before camp, and it's been easy for him because it was a similar system in college. So tight end is one of those positions that, you know, it's probably after quarterback is probably one of the position that has the most responsibility, I would say, because you can be an inline blocker, you can not be a non-inline blocker, you can be a receiver. I mean, it's just so many different things you can do, run game, pass game. So to talk about him like that, and the fact that he's contributing early, I think, you know, it doesn't mean a lot, but it means something. It's a good start, it seems.
Yeah, we saw six snaps of him, like in a team drill. So when they were doing the wide receiver, so the way we're positioned, like we get like a horseshoe. There's two fields, and you get like a horseshoe. You can go up to about the 40-yard line on both sides, and then behind both end zones. So the one on ones were happening coming at us. And then there's like a line of players waiting to take their turn, and then behind that line of players on the other side, there's a run drill going on. So like. It was kind of hard to see. So when that was going on, the tight ends were down there blocking in the run drill. You know, I can't see what Adam Trout was doing down there. We got this line of people. Then there's the defense, and then there's the offense. Like the people waiting to play defense, the defense, then the offensive line, and then the tight end. Like, so it was really hard to see. You couldn't see it. So
yeah, to the people listening, Nick is using his hand gestures and he's moving. You guys got to go to YouTube and look at the video to see. Like, he's literally like drawing out the entire horseshoe field. So you got to check out the YouTube.
So that's how it goes. That's how it goes. So it's really hard to see down on that end. There was just too much going on. So, you know, you focus on what you can see. Yep. So yeah, then there were six plays in the team drill with Breeze at quarterback. Since as Jared Cook said, Adam Trautman was running with the ones, and. You know, three pressures, those plays they're gone. So there's three plays. One of those three plays, Trautman jumped before the snap. So that wasn't good. And then just nothing happened after that. Yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing there to about. Like, it's an empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see how it goes from there. But, you know, look, he moved well. Like, when they were doing their warm-ups and positional drills,
yeah,
he moves well. Like,
you can tell that he's somewhat athletic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's the rookie who I kind of like. I'm watching the most. It's weird, man. This team, the rookies seem like the fifth most important thing on this team right now. It's just like it's wild.
Bond in that role surprised me. That was probably the most surprising thing of the day because I expected to see Bradham out there or something. Yeah, I just did not expect to see Zach Bond as the starter in the base defense.
Well, I mean look, we can, you know, rewind back to draft time and, you know, you had the article written before. Somehow you guess some magic way you knew that he was going to be a pick. But, yeah, they were after him and they loved his college tape, and they aggressively pursued him. So, you know, I guess maybe, you know, that was all for a reason. So we'll find that out soon enough. That's it, man. That's it. Training camp is here. Live practices, live pads, practice reports. NewOrleans.football/subscribe. Link in the show notes. Practice reports coming after every practice from Nick Underhill. Podcast, probably some extra pods. If they don't happen, then blame Nick. probably going to take some flack for that. But, yeah, listen, football is here. We're excited. You guys, there's only one place that you can get your best Saints content. Like, that's NewOrleans.football. Link in the show notes, as we always say. Make sure you guys go to YouTube. You can search Nick Underhill and subscribe. Watch these pods. Share them with your friends. My mom, she always tells me to send her the video of her baby doing a podcast. So I'm trying to run some traffic through there. So if you guys can do the same, we appreciate it. But that's it. You guys stay safe. Wear a mask. We will see you next week. Or maybe not. Sooner than that. We out.